Hello? A deal. You didn't actually block me, did you? A deal. Wilson! I shook my head. If Noah had his way, he'd show up to work, do his job, then immediately go home to his daughter. But a deal had somehow dragged him into our Black Castle baddies group chat. Yes, that was really the name, and no, a deal wouldn't change it. We had another chat with the entire team, but I rarely posted there. The other guys were nice enough on their own, but Adil and Noah were the only ones who didn't treat me differently when Vincent was around. An incoming call disrupted Adil's spiral over being blocked. Hey, boss. I tucked my phone between my ear and shoulder as I flipped through the post. Every week I received bags of items to sign for my official fan club. Some players ignored their fan mail altogether, but I tried to sign when I had the time. It didn't require much effort, and it made people happy. I haven't crashed any cars yet, but I promise I'm working on it.
You do that, and I will personally fly to London to slap some sense into you,
Sloane said without a trace of humor. I suppressed a laugh. Coach was the boss on the pitch, but as my publicist, Sloane Kensington was in charge of everything related to my image, much to her chagrin. I paid her a boatload of money for dealing with me, but honestly, I was surprised she hadn't quit yet. Then again, Sloane and quit didn't belong in the same sentence. She'd soldier through a trench of paparazzi bottom feeders and internet trolls before she gave up.
If you're finished with your unamusing jokes, I'd like to remind you of your Sports UK interview on Thursday,
she said.
I'll connect you to the reporter at noon sharp. Also, I spoke with Leon about Aoki watches. They're renewing your brand ambassador contract. I'll send you details for the Japanese press tour once they're confirmed.
Perfect. Leon was my business manager, and Aoki Watches was my most lucrative brand sponsorship. You're worth your weight in gold.
Instead of gold, pay me by staying out of trouble. I mean it, Asher. I don't want to see you near a street race unless the internet and media collectively implode and I won't have to deal with the resulting headlines.
Does that mean if I comply, I won't have to pay your monthly retainer? I just bought a new Bugatti. Cash is a little tight. It wasn't. But I was curious as to how she'd respond. She hung up on me. Well then, there was my answer. I didn't have any urgent mail, so I set it aside for the moment and walked to my garage. The custom-built space was the size of an airplane hangar, and it housed all 15 of my cars, including my favorite vintage Jaguar convertible and the Bugatti in question. The striking all-black model was so rare, there were only 3 in existence. Quad-turbo 8-litre W16 engine, 6 exhaust tips, 7-speed dual-clutch transmission, custom headlights. It was a thing of beauty. I ran a loving hand over the hood before I climbed in and switched on the ignition. The powerful growl of the engine roared to life, and an electric thrill zipped down my spine. Besides football, driving was the only thing that truly made me feel alive. In the dead of night, when the streets were quieter and the music was blasting, I could clear my head and think. For the next few hours, that was exactly what I did as I pulled out of the garage and took my new car out for a spin. However, instead of vibing to the music and brainstorming strategies for the next season, my mind kept conjuring images of dark hair and grey eyes. I shoved them aside. They came back. Jesus. I rubbed a hand over my face and tried to steer my thoughts towards something, anything, other than a certain ex-ballerina. Focus on the Sports UK interview. What questions will they ask? Definitely something about my first season with Blackcastle, how I felt losing to my old team, maybe my summer training regimen. Summer. Training. Scarlet. My groan of frustration cut through the music. Why did everything root back to her? We met a month ago and I still couldn't pinpoint why she had such a hold on me. Was it because she was beautiful? I'd met plenty of beautiful women, including movie stars, supermodels, and 2 Miss Universes. Hadn't given them more than a passing thought. Because she was witty and talented? They were great qualities to have, but they weren't enough to explain why she haunted me the way she did. Because she was off limits and seemingly uninterested in me? I liked a challenge, but her connection to Vincent was a detractor more than anything else. So if it wasn't any of those things that drew me to her, what the hell was it? My frown deepened. I needed to decipher the source of her magic so I could negate it and refocus on what was important, my game. A summer distraction was all well and good, but I couldn't afford a wandering mind after the next season started. Since I transferred mid-season this year, I technically had some leeway when it came to our performance. But if I screwed up my first full season with Black Castle, there'd be no going back. It would always be a black mark on my record. I turned up the music and entered central London. I passed the illuminated buildings of Parliament Square and Buckingham Palace before I eventually found myself in the bowels of the West End. I tapped my fingers against the center console. Scarlett had gone on a date here 2 nights ago. I hadn't asked for details because I didn't care, necessarily. But what if she got so distracted with her bow that it affected her work in the studio? The question unleashed an onslaught of new ones. Who'd been her date? How did she meet him? Was he an athlete, accountant, or, shit, I didn't know, an aerospace engineer or something? She won't date a footballer again. Vincent's declaration echoed through my head. I hadn't figured out her ex's identity yet, though admittedly I hadn't dug that hard. It was best if I didn't wade too deep into her love life. Unfortunately, that resolution didn't stop the questions about her mystery date. Had Friday night been their first date, or had they been seeing each other for a while? Had they kissed, gone back to one of their places after the show? A quick burst of discomfort jolted up my arm. When I looked down, my knuckles had whitened around the wheel. I immediately loosened my grip, but an unpleasant sensation continued to slither through my veins. The Bugatti drew plenty of stares, but as the hour wore on, the streets gradually emptied. Billboards and lights gave way to brick and concrete. The bustle of central London quieted into a residential calm. A familiar pastel building loomed in the distance, and I almost slammed on the brakes when I realized where I was. I had somehow, unthinkingly, unintentionally, driven to Scarlett's flat. Way to go. That's not creepy or anything. I didn't linger. I already felt like a stalker, and my car was too distinctive to escape notice should she happen to wake up and look outside her window. Nevertheless, a small part of me wondered what would happen if I cut the engine, walked up to her flat, and knocked on the door. Nothing will happen because you're both smarter than that, and she is off limits, capital O, capital L. I'd reminded myself of that so often I never wanted to hear the term off limits again. But I'd still repeat it 1,000 times until it sank in. If Vincent and I had issues now, they were nothing compared to the war that'd break out if I got involved with Scarlett. Coach would lose his shit, and I could kiss my championship and possibly my spot on the team goodbye. No girl was worth giving up my career for. I tore my eyes away from her building and drove home, letting the music drown out any thoughts to the contrary.
Chapter 10. Scarlett. I hated to admit it, but moving our training to Asher's house was a genius idea. The facilities were better, there was more privacy, and I didn't have to take the hot, jam-packed tube home every day. The armored car did ease my anxieties, and Earl was an excellent driver. By our third day together, I was comfortable enough to release my death grip on my seat. That was also the day Asher and I experimented with outdoor drills for the first time. We trained in the open-air gym for a while before he offered to show me the grounds during our break. I'd agreed, thinking it would be a quick walk. I was wrong. I knew his estate was big, but I hadn't realized how massive it truly was until we reached the southwest corner. You built a football pitch in your back garden. I stared at the sea of perfectly cut grass. White lines marked the most important playing areas, and nets anchored both ends of the pitch. That's mad.
It's not an official pitch.
Asher lifted his shirt to wipe the sweat off his face.
It's a mini pitch.
A pitch is a pitch. I kept my eyes glued to his backyard and not on the flash of chiseled abs and tanned skin. Admittedly, calling this place a back garden was like calling Versailles a house. Besides the football pitch, sorry, mini pitch. It boasted an Olympic-sized pool with a waterfall and attached jacuzzi, heated cabanas, 2 clay tennis courts, a wisteria walkway, and an outdoor dining area. I couldn't imagine how much Asher shelled out for landscaping every year. The flowers alone must have cost tens of thousands of pounds.
Fair enough. You play.
Asher grabbed a football from the ground and tossed it lazily in the air. He caught it with his toe, flipped it to one knee, and bounced it to his other knee. No. I grabbed the ball, halting his impromptu show. Show off? His eyes gleamed with laughter.
Not even a little. You must have kicked a ball around once or twice.
Kicking a ball around isn't the same as playing.
Let's see.
He snatched the ball back and dribbled it onto the pitch.
First person to score a goal wins bragging rights and a pint of ice cream.
That's stupid. There's no goalkeeper, I yelled. Unguarded football nets were so large a toddler could score if they got close enough, which meant the challenge was retaining possession of the ball and, well, getting close enough. Ash's laughter drifted across the pitch. Oh, screw it. My competitive drive kicked into high gear, and I sprinted after him. My muscles protested immediately. I'd avoided high-impact activities like running since my accident, but I gritted my teeth and focused on the satisfaction of scoring on Asher. I caught up to him surprisingly fast. I suspected he'd held back for my sake. Even so, it was frustratingly difficult to steal the ball from him. I succeeded twice, but he stole it back almost as quickly as he lost it.
You're better than you let on.
He wasn't even breathing hard, the bastard.
Come on, put that fancy footwork of yours to the test.
I issued a little growl that earned me another laugh. Then we were off again, and my mind blacked out everything except for the need to score. I may have been better than I let on, but there was a reason Asher was the top-paid footballer in the world. Playing against him, even in an unserious two-person match, was like pitting David against Goliath, if David lost. Nothing could have prepared me for it. I'd watched him play before, of course. There wasn't a single person in the UK who didn't remember his legendary halfway line goal against Liverpool or his spectacular header in the quarterfinals of the last World Cup. Asher was incredible on screen. But up close in person, he was magic. He matched me turn for turn, feint for feint. He intuited what I'd do before I did it. And he was barely trying. Sweat poured down my face and neck, but sheer stubbornness held me together. One goal. I just needed one goal. A wheezing cough rattled my lungs. I should have warmed up or drank more water before I came out here. Asher slowed, concern sliding over his face. I took the opportunity and attempted a steal. To my shock, it worked. However, my triumph was short-lived. Asher reacted so fast, he almost regained possession immediately, but I wasn't letting go that easily this time. Back and forth, left and right, somewhere during our tussle, our legs tangled. I hit the grass with jarring force, and I didn't have time to move before Asher felt too. He braced himself against the ground so he didn't totally crush me, but he was still there, right on top of me. We froze in simultaneous shock. If someone were to come across us at that moment, I imagine we'd pass for stone statues in Medusa's garden, entangled and unmoving. My heart rate slowed to a crawl. Despite his braced position, his body pressed against mine enough for me to feel every ridge and plane. All that muscle pinning me to the ground should have been uncomfortable. Instead, it was oddly comforting, like a shield against the outside world. An extremely well-toned, sculpted shield. I tried and failed to swallow past the dryness in my throat. I really should have drank more water earlier. My tongue darted out, wetting my lips unconsciously. Asher's eyes dipped to my mouth, and the remaining oxygen in the air snuffed out with a near-audible puff. Move. Breathe. Push him off. Do something. My brain fired commands at me, and I didn't heed a single one. I couldn't. I was stuck, trapped by the heat of his body and the soft rise and fall of his chest against mine. It was tingling all over. Either my muscles were shutting down from overexertion, or it was an involuntary reaction to Asher's proximity, or both. Either way, the stutter in my chest when his gaze drifted up and met mine again couldn't be healthy. Did he always have those golden flecks in his eyes? They were absurdly beautiful, like splashes of sunlight on a verdant hill. A hint of aftershave and sweat teased my nostrils. Instead of smelling gross, it smelled earthy and masculine and utterly addicting. Leave it to Asher Donovan to make sweating sexy. His chin lowered. If I tilted mine up, we would... The soft but distinct whir of a shutter snapping smashed into the moment with the grace of a wrecking ball. Our heads jerked toward the sound, and my jaw dropped when I saw a man peeking out at us from over the greenery.
What the fuck?
Asher's outburst mirrored my feelings exactly. The cameraman had somehow climbed over the 12-foot hedge bordering the grounds and was capturing our interaction with a super zoom lens. Now that he'd been spotted, he didn't waste time. He lowered his camera, tucked tail, and ran right as Asher pushed off me and bolted after him. After a beat, I followed suit. Our impromptu football match earlier, if one could call it that, had sucked away most of my energy. My entire body ached, especially my legs, which burned with each step. A fresh surge of adrenaline was the only thing propping me up. Luckily, there was a shortcut through the hedges to the driveway, so I didn't have to traverse the entire mansion. By the time I turned the corner, Asher had already caught and restrained the pup by pinning his arms behind his back. A fancy Nikon lay in several pieces next to them.
You broke my camera!
The man howled, his bulbous nose reddened.
That's an 8,000-pound lens! Your lens!
Asher twisted his arms harder, and the man let out a pained yelp.
You trespassed on my property, took photos of us during my personal time.
His eyes glittered like emerald knives.
I put up with your bullshit when I'm in public, but make no mistake, if I ever catch you anywhere near either of us again, I'll break more than your camera. Understand?
The man's mouth flattened into a mulish line. I didn't recognize him. He wasn't one of the regulars who'd hung around RAB when we'd trained there. And the ease with which Asher caught him suggested he was new to the job. If so, he'd made a terrible new enemy.
I said, do you understand?
Asher twisted his arms again, and the man's stubbornness dissolved into a pathetic yelp.
Yes! Good. Now get the fuck off my property before I change my mind.
I can't believe you caught him, I said once the pap left. He must have had at least a minute head start on Asher. And I can't believe you broke his camera.
He got off easy with the broken camera.
The cords in Asher's neck bunched with tension. I'd never seen him so furious. I didn't know it was possible for him to be furious. He was always so good-natured. But right now, with his body coiled and his face creased in a scowl, he was the picture of pure, unadulterated anger. However, with the pap gone and air quiet once more, the anger slowly drained, leaving visible frustration behind.
I need to upgrade my security.
Asher rubbed a hand over his face. He sounded tired, and a needle of sympathy pierced my gut.
I didn't want to turn this place into a bloody surveillance state, but I can't have people sneaking in like that. If we hadn't caught him in time...
A chill rippled over my skin. In 1 month, we'd had 2 close calls with the paparazzi. How long until our luck ran out? How did he get in? Breaking onto school grounds was one thing. Breaking onto someone's private property was another.
My landscaping crew was in and out while we were training. He must have slipped in with them.
Asher's jaw clenched.
People like him are fucking vultures, sniffing around for any scraps they can find.
The needle of sympathy dug deeper. Being in the public eye like that must be awful. Vincent dealt with the same thing to a certain degree, but no athlete sold headlines like Asher. The scrutiny and invasions of privacy he faced were on another level.
I could handle it if they were just coming after me. I know what I signed up for,
Asher said.
But you're getting caught up in this mess, and that's not fucking okay.
His words pulsed in my veins, filling them with uncomfortable warmth. I stumbled for a second before I regained my composure. You don't have to worry about me. I'm a big girl. I can handle an out-of-shape pap. That brought forth a small curve in his lips.
Says the person panting like she just ran a marathon.
Give me a break. It's been years since I ran like that. My jelly-like legs confirmed my long break with cardio. The hint of a smile vanished.
Shit. I forgot how high-impact running is. It's not good for chronic pain, is it?
The warmth in my veins melted into honey. Hell, everything melted. At this rate, they'd have to scrape me off the driveway with a spatula. You looked up chronic pain. A wash of dull red coloured Ash's cheekbones.
Out of curiosity, that's all,
he said.
I didn't know much about it, so I figured I should learn the basics. Obviously.
Obviously? Was it normal for a human heart to beat this fast? I had my annual checkup a few weeks ago. The doctor said everything looked normal, but maybe I needed a second opinion because something strange was going on inside my chest. Ash's eyes flickered with an array of emotions I couldn't decipher.
Do you want to take a bath?
The abrupt switch in subjects was so absurd it jolted me back into normality. Excuse me?
A bath, for inflammation. I take one after a particularly intense workout. It helps with recovery.
Inflammation, right. Of course he wasn't asking if you wanted to take a bath with him, idiot. It's okay, I can take one at home. Except a bath did sound wonderful. And home was at least an hour away if I factored in afternoon traffic. The remaining adrenaline drained from my limbs. I wanted to lie down on the driveway and let the sun-baked stone take away my soreness.
Are you sure? I have a million guest baths. It's not a big deal.
Ash's frown suggested he'd picked up on my dip in energy.
Traffic is a nightmare at this time of day. If you're not feeling well, I don't want things getting worse while you're stuck in Piccadilly.
No, it would be too weird for me to take a bath at a trainee's house, especially when said trainee was Asher Donovan. I should absolutely, positively, 100% not accept his offer. Except I was so tired, and my body hurt, and if I didn't sit down right now, I might pass out for the second time in front of him, and wouldn't that be embarrassing? Don't do it. Suck it up. Wait until you're home. Okay, if you don't mind. Chapter 11. Scarlet. This was the best, worst decision of my life. I sank deeper into the marble tub, certain the water here contained some sort of magic. Warm baths always soothed my pain, but the ones at home never worked this quickly or effectively. I'd only been in here for, I checked my phone, 7 minutes, and I already felt like a new person. Maybe Asher imported his bathwater directly from a secret French mountain village and had it blessed by virgin nuns before he allowed it to pour out of the faucets. Or maybe his Epsom salts were higher quality than mine. Whatever it was, I wasn't complaining. I leaned my head against the cushioned headrest and closed my eyes. The water jets, the classical music piping through hidden speakers, the scent of lavender and chamomile, my flat's dinky little tub and the screams from the on-again-off-again couple next door seemed worlds away. I didn't care if bathing in Ash's house was weird. I could stay in this tub forever. Scarlet Dubois, the woman who sold her convictions for Epsom salts and a jacuzzi bathtub. Damn right I did. And it was worth it. The only downside to my current situation was the lack of distractions. No distractions meant more time to think. More time to think meant my thoughts inevitably drifted toward a certain footballer. Trying to rein them in was like a novice trying to rein in a wild stallion. Useless. You looked up chronic pain? Out of curiosity, that's all. Tiny wings fluttered to life again throughout my body. How sad was it that Asher had done more for me in 1 month than my now ex-boyfriend did in the year following my accident? Pretty damn sad. I stayed in the tub until the water ran cold. Afterward, I tossed on a fluffy guest robe and slippers and padded into the hallway. Asher had offered to run my grass-stained clothes through the laundry while I was in the bath, so I just needed to grab them before I left. It was getting late, and I'd already overstayed my welcome. Nevertheless, I took my time wandering through the private wing of his house. I didn't want to snoop, but I was fascinated by the little peeks into Asher's personal life. I paused by the wall of photos outside the primary suite. The cracked open door revealed enough personal effects to mark it as his bedroom and not a guest room. The photos were arranged in chronological order, documenting his life from adorable baby to adult superstardom. My lips curved at a picture of toddler Asher wearing a birthday hat and a chocolate-smudged grin. A few frames down, a slightly older version of him sported a Holchester United kit, and the same, albeit sans chocolate, grin. A stern-looking older man stood next to him with one hand on his shoulder. He must have been Asher's father. They shared the exact same eyes and bone structure.
My fifth birthday.
Asher's voice pulled my attention away from the adorable photos. He walked out of his bedroom and nodded at the gallery.
My father gifted me my first Holchester kit, and I was so excited I put it on straight away. We ended up playing football the rest of the afternoon, much to my mother's exasperation.
Heat curled around my neck and ears. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be nosy.
It's fine. If I didn't want people seeing the pictures, I wouldn't have put them out here.
Asher shrugged. He must have taken a shower while I was bathing. His hair was damp, and he'd changed out of his workout clothes into a grey t-shirt and shorts. They're cute pictures. I assume your father is a big Holchester fan?
Die hard,
he confirmed.
I grew up in Holchester, and he took me to every home match when I was a kid. Some away matches too. When I signed with them, he was over the moon. Even forgave me for my stint with Man U before that.
And Black Castle? How does he feel about that? I asked. Holchester fans didn't like Man U, but Black Castle was even worse. They were Holchester's number one rival.
Less thrilled.
Ash's tone verged on matter of fact, but the shuttering of his expression suggested there was more to the story. I swallowed my curiosity. If he wanted to elaborate, he would. Instead, I pivoted to another question that had been nagging at me for a while. Why did you transfer? You were doing so well at Holchester.
£250 million is a lot of money.
It is, but I don't think that's the only reason.
Why not?
You don't strike me as someone who'd do something solely for a paycheck. For all his flash and show, Asher possessed an honest, tangible reverence for the sport. It came through in his training, his interviews, his collection of mementos featuring other football greats, not just himself. Players like that didn't make huge decisions based on money alone. Besides, he'd already been mind-bogglingly rich before the transfer. A small smile touched his face.
A Dubois saying something nice about my character. Someone checked the temperature in hell.
I'm not my brother. I'd been biased against Asher for reasons that had nothing to do with Vincent. But the more time we spent together, the harder it was to hold on to that initial animosity.
No.
Asher's gaze held mine for a fraction longer than was customary.
You're definitely not.
His words floated softly between us. My skin buzzed to life, and I was suddenly hyper-aware of the fact that we'd been naked in the same house, his house, less than an hour ago. Me in my bath, him in his shower. That shouldn't feel so intimate, but it did. Asher's mouth parted. Anticipation ricocheted through my chest, but before he could speak, a boom of thunder rocked the house. The unmistakable sound of pouring rain followed, drawing my attention to the window at the end of the hall. I'd been so caught up in this, whatever this was, that I hadn't noticed the shift from beautiful summer afternoon to sudden downpour.
Shit,
Asher said. Our earlier moment was gone, shattered by the distraction and our gradual return to our senses. At least that applied to me. I had no idea what he was thinking.
We should get you home before the rain gets worse. I'll call Earl and check on your laundry. It should be done.
I'd forgotten I was only wearing a bathrobe. My cheeks flamed. Nevertheless, I followed him to the laundry room where my clothes were still spinning in the dryer.
4 minutes left,
Asher reported. He appeared to be avoiding my eyes, though that might be my paranoia talking.
Not too long. We'll have you out of here in no—
A shrill alert emanated from both our phones. Interruptions seemed to be the theme of the day. First the pap, then the thunder, now this. However, my annoyance soon morphed into alarm when I read the accompanying emergency text. A flash flood warning is in effect for this area until 8 o'clock a.m., BST. This is a dangerous and life-threatening situation. Do not attempt to travel unless you are fleeing an area subject to flooding or under an evacuation order. 8 o'clock a.m. BST. That was tomorrow morning, which meant... Asher and I lifted our heads and stared at each other in horror, which meant I was stuck here for the night.
Chapter 12. Asher. This was a nightmare. The Met Office had warned of possible severe thunderstorms today, but the morning and afternoon had been so beautiful I'd dismissed their concerns. Now, all of a sudden, I was trapped with the one person I didn't want, or shouldn't want, to spend the night with. I glanced at Scarlett, who'd finally changed out of her bathrobe and into her freshly dried clothes. Thank God. The robe had been distracting, to say the least, which was irritating because it had been my bloody guest robe. Note to self, buy more full coverage robes in case of similar future occurrences, preferably full length with a turtleneck and so many layers you can't tell if it's a human body or a concrete block under there. Certainly nothing that revealed endless dancer's legs or a shadow of cleavage. Nothing that exposed miles of smooth skin or tempted the imagination.
Absolutely not. I refuse,
she said, crossing her arms.
Anything but that.
My pulse leapt before I realized she was talking about my movie choice and not the traitorous thoughts she'd somehow divined from my face. It's a movie. It's not real. I tossed out a teasing smile to mask the balloon of relief in my chest. It had been hours since we received the emergency weather alert, and the storm showed no signs of abating. For lack of anything better to do, we'd settled in the theater with popcorn and an agreement to alternate movie choices. Scarlett chose the first film, a heist comedy about sorority sisters who had to steal a rare diamond necklace after getting caught up with a Vegas mob boss. It wasn't to my usual taste, but I hadn't complained, and the movie had turned out to be pretty good. It seemed a bit unfair then for her to renege on her part of the deal.
It's a horror movie,
she said.
I don't watch horror.
Too scared?
As a matter of fact, yes. Horror movies give me nightmares, and unless you want me screaming the house down at 3 a.m, I recommend we switch to literally any other genre.
Oh, come on, it's not that bad. This isn't even the original Japanese version. Japanese versions were always 10 times scarier than their American counterparts. It was a universal fact.
I couldn't even handle Scream, and that was satire.
Scarlett grimaced.
No, thank you. Pick another movie, please.
That's not part of our deal.
Pretty please?
Don't bat your lashes at me. It's not going to work. I cocked an eyebrow. Come on. What happened to facing your fears and overcoming them?
I never said I would do that. I'm perfectly happy locking my fears in the closet and pretending they don't exist.
Ah, denial. The best way to go through life.
Slap it on a t-shirt and call me Egypt.
Laughter burst from my chest at her unexpected pun. I'd heard it before, but it was better coming from her. Everything was better coming from her. Her knee grazed mine as she shifted in her seat. My smile vanished, and it took all my willpower not to jerk my leg away. I'd done a decent job of keeping things professional the past few weeks, minus my unplanned detour to her place on Sunday. The occasional flirtatious remarks slipped out here or there, but they were harmless. However, it was easier to stay professional when we were in the studio. It was a hell of a lot harder when we were sitting next to each other in a dark, private theater. Every time we moved, we risked brushing against each other. The anticipation of those light touches was more stressful than the jump scares in a horror film. Plus, the faint coconut scent of her shampoo, my guest shampoo, lingered hours later. It made me want to bury my face and hands in her hair, which would be deeply unprofessional. Second note to self. Restock guest toiletries with unscented products, or better yet, with Lynx. My father had worn Lynx exclusively since I was born, and it was the ultimate attraction killer. Who wanted to kiss someone that smelled like their dad? No one. Let's make a deal, I said. You watch this with me, and I'll forfeit the rest of my choices for the night. We can watch as many heist comedies as you want.
Nice try. By the time it's over, it'll be time for bed.
Scarlett shook her head.
No deal.
Damn it. I was hoping she'd overlook that. Fine. I'll fetch you pistachio ice cream from the kitchen.
You don't have pistachio ice cream. I checked.
When did you... Never mind. I mentally flipped through my other options. Okay, if you watch the entire movie with me tonight, I'll give you a pass for a future favor. Any favor you want. I held out my hand. Pinky promise. Scarlett rolled her eyes.
What are we, 8?
But she was thinking about it. I could tell by the furrow between her brows as she looked up to the left. Left meant she was pondering something. Right meant she was lying. It was alarming how well I could read her after only a month.
Any favor?
I held back a triumphant grin. Any favor as long as it's not illegal. I paused. Well, depending on the activity, I could be persuaded even if it is illegal.
Good to know your morals, Donovan.
Scarlett tapped her fingers against the armrest before she hooked her pinky around mine.
You have a deal.
Whatever favor I'd have to grant in the future was worth it for the sheer entertainment value of seeing her overreact to every tiny thing for the next 95 minutes.
Oh my God!
Scarlett peeked out from between her fingers, her eyes huge. On screen, the scared but determined-looking housewife inched upstairs, the wood creaking menacingly beneath her feet.
Why is she going to the attic? It makes no sense. If I heard strange noises coming from my house, the last thing I'd do is investigate alone.
Maybe she's braver than you.
You mean stupider?
Every brave act is stupid until it succeeds.
You... Ah!
The scene's ominous soundtrack crescendoed. Scarlett screamed and dove for me, burying her face in my shoulder and clutching my arm so hard I swore my circulation cut off.
What happened? Did she die? What's going on?
A muffled panic was drowned out by my laughter. I couldn't help it. Scarlett was usually so reserved and put together that seeing her lose it over a cheesy horror film was almost better than winning a match. Almost. Once the music calmed and it turned out there was nothing in the attic except for a creepy old chest, Scarlett lifted her head to glare at me.
Stop laughing!
Your scream! I choked out, my shoulders shaking. I should have recorded it. Priceless. She shoved my arm in retaliation, but I barely felt it. Apparently, amusement was the greatest insulator against pain.
You're a terrible host.
She huffed.
Polite host, don't... Ah!
This time, there was a jump scare on screen. Scarlett shoved her face into my shoulder again, and my laughter escalated into full-blown guffaws. She spent the remainder of the movie attached to my side, peeking out occasionally when the sounds were calm and using my torso as a shield when they weren't. This does not count as watching the movie, I said. You might as well be listening to an audiobook instead. Despite my words, I didn't mind. Her hands were warm against my skin, and I liked the way she curled into me.
Is it over?
She asked when the closing credits started rolling. Yes, you coward. You can come out from your hiding spot now. And by hiding spot, I mean the area between the seat and my back. Scarlett detached herself from me with great dignity, or as much dignity as one could muster with tousled hair and red cheeks.
Great.
She straightened her top, the picture of prim elegance once more.
Tell anyone about this, and I will...
Scream some more? I grinned. At this point, I was immune to her glares. You weren't kidding when you said you were a wuss when it comes to horror. I assume you've never performed in any spooky ballets.
Actually, I performed in The Cage for a season, but that's different.
I had no clue what The Cage was, but it sounded appropriately unsettling. What was your favorite ballet? I asked. It was late, the movie was over, and we should be heading to bed, separately. That would be the smart thing to do. Unfortunately, my decisions and smart didn't belong in the same sentence where Scarlett was concerned. My brain screamed at me to leave before I did something stupid, but I wasn't ready to say goodnight yet. Besides, it wasn't like I was grabbing her and kissing her. I was engaging her in friendly conversation. What could it hurt?
Favorite ballet?
A furrow dug between her brows again.
That's hard. For choreography, probably Petite Mort. For a classic, Giselle? That was the first show my mother took me to, so I guess there's sentimental value.
Did you know you wanted to dance professionally since you were young?
Yeah.
Scarlett's face softened.
My mother put me in pre-ballet classes when I was 4. Some of my classmates were only there because they were forced to be there, but I looked forward to the lessons every week. It was... I don't know. It was nice being part of something so structured. I get anxious when there's too much uncertainty. Also...
A small smile peeked out.
The costumes were pretty.
That smile shouldn't have snuck through me the way it did, like a burglar breaking into a vault at night. Dangerous, a voice whispered. Stay away.
I was good at it too, which helped. I think I have too much pride to love something that doesn't love me back.
Scarlet let out a small laugh. If her smile was a burglar, her laugh was a fucking thief, because I was pretty sure she just stole a piece of my heart from right out under me. Stop being dramatic. No one stole anything. It's a laugh. Get over it. Except it wasn't just her laugh. This was the first time she'd opened up to me. Sure, her childhood dance lessons weren't exactly deep, dark secrets, but they were something. She was letting her guard down, and I'd be damned if I did anything to ruin that.
What about you?
She asked.
When did you know you wanted to be a footballer?
Probably around the same time you knew you wanted to be a ballerina. I settled deeper into my seat. I told you earlier my father bought me my first Holchester kit when I was 5, but he'd been prepping me since I was in the womb. My mother said that instead of music, he'd play his favorite post-match analyses for me. I think he hoped fetus me would soak up all that strategy and pop out ready for the Premier League. Scarlet laughed again.
Your mother must have loved that.
Oh, she let him get away with it for a week before she threatened to toss all his Holchester memorabilia if he so much as uttered the word football near her again during the pregnancy. I smiled, imagining my mother's ire and my father's protests. He wasn't stupid enough to call her bluff. But the minute I was old enough to kick a ball, that was it. My future was set. That was hyperbole to an extent. No one could guarantee a career in professional football. There'd been aspiring players who'd worked equally as hard but never made it close to the big leagues. Luck and timing mattered. I'd benefited from both. Teddy hadn't. A rock lodged in my throat. I forced myself to swallow past it. Now wasn't the time to dwell on the past.
What would you want to be if you hadn't gone into football?
Scarlet asked, unknowingly throwing me a lifeline before I drowned in a sea of what-ifs. I have no idea, I said. Football is the only thing I've ever been good at. I'd hated school. I'd spent my classes daydreaming about football, which was probably why my grades had been abysmal. My teachers hadn't known what to do with me. Most eventually gave up, and some had outright laughed when I said I'd be the next Beckham or Armstrong. I'd proved them wrong, but a small part of me had held on to their words. Their dismissals had etched deep into my psyche, fueling me with spite, but also agonizing me with fears that they'd been telling the truth, that I was where I was merely because I'd gotten lucky, and that the luck could be snatched from me at any second. Maybe I'd be a race car driver, I said as an afterthought, or another sport. It was a lie. There was no other sport. There was only football. However, that was too sad to admit, so I made something up. Barring that, I'd go off the rails with something wild, like a dog surfing instructor or professional cuddler or something.
Professional cuddler is not a thing.
It most definitely is. Google it. I waved my phone in the air. Not to brag, but I'm great at cuddling. I can demonstrate. Scarlet rolled her eyes, but a small smile peeked through.
No thanks. I'll take your word for it.
We lapsed into a comfortable silence. It seemed Scarlet wanted to stay as much as I did, despite the yawns she tried to hide. Guilt pressed on my shoulders. I shouldn't have pushed her to play earlier. I'd read that intense exercise could aggravate chronic pain symptoms, but the weather had been so beautiful, and I hadn't been thinking. I'd enjoyed seeing her let loose too much, and she moved with a dancer's grace that was apparent even to an untrained eye. Would you want to dance again? I asked. If you had the opportunity. Scarlet stilled for a second before she shook her head.
It doesn't matter what I want,
she said, her face devoid of emotion.
I can't. I've had surgeries, physical therapy, you name it. I'm much better now, but I lost a lot of mobility and flexibility because of my hip injuries. I'll never perform at the level I used to.
But she missed dancing, I said gently. There was a long pause before she answered.
Yeah.
The word contained a world of wistfulness.
I do.
An answering ball of emotion knotted in my chest. I couldn't imagine waking up one day and losing the ability to play football. The end of her career was all the more devastating because it had been so unexpected. I'd looked up the accident after she told me about it. She'd been on her way to a performance when the other car hit them. The universe could be fucking cruel, and I hated seeing the sadness in her eyes. Not all dances have to be at the Royal Opera House or Westbury. I thought I saw her flinch at the mention of Westbury, but I might have imagined it. Can you do it for fun instead? Maybe there are roles that are less physically taxing.
I don't know. I haven't tried.
Scarlett's curt response suggested she wanted to end the conversation as soon as possible. I didn't want to push her too far, nor did I want to judge, but I couldn't stop a jolt of shock at the fact that she hadn't tried to dance since her accident. I would have understood if she'd left that world behind, but she was still teaching ballet and she said herself that she missed it. The RAB staff showcase seems like a good opportunity to try. I broached the subject with caution. Low stakes, familiar audience.
No.
One word. That was all it took for the gates to slam down. Scarlett's face closed, her eyes shuttering and her mouth flattening into a stubborn line. The openness that had brightened our conversation earlier dimmed, leaving an awkward tension in its wake. Her reasons for not participating were none of my business, even though I hadn't bought the I'm too busy excuse she gave me when I'd first asked her about it. Everyone at RAB was busy. The aftermath of her accident was a rightfully sensitive subject. If I were in her shoes, I'd be livid at me for prying. Nevertheless, the longing in her eyes when I'd mentioned dancing again had imprinted itself on my consciousness, and I couldn't let it go. I'm perfectly happy locking my fears in the closet and pretending they don't exist. What are you afraid of, Scarlett? The question slipped out, quiet yet filled with certainty. Her physical limitations weren't her biggest obstacles. Her fears were. I'd known someone who'd let his fears control him. I couldn't get through to him, and he took those fears to his grave. There were nights when I'd lie awake and wonder what would have happened had I pushed him more, tried harder instead of being caught up in the dreams of my own success. Would it have made a difference? Would he still be alive? Those regrets kept me from backing down, even as Scarlett turned rigid. I didn't care if she was livid with me. I'd let someone I cared about down once. I wasn't going to do it again. Scarlett wasn't my best friend, girlfriend, or family. But I didn't need a label to know that I did care about her. I'd expected her to lash out after my question. Instead, the stoniness slowly fizzled from her face, and her shoulders sagged with a resigned sigh.
The last time I performed, I was in my prime,
she said.
The next great prima ballerina. That was what the press called me. I opened Swan Lake at the Westbury and killed it. Standing ovation, rave reviews. But I am not that dancer anymore, and I want people to remember me as I was. Healthy. Talented.
A voice cracked on the next word.
Whole.
Bullshit. My response cracked like a whip through the air. Scarlett startled, her face creasing with equal parts shock and affront. You're not broken, so don't give me that whole BS, I said. I bet you can still run circles around the majority of the general population when it comes to ballet, so don't try to feed me that untalented line either. I paused, replaying my words. Okay, maybe run wasn't the right verb to use, but you know what I mean. The faintest curve touched her lips. The point is, your injuries don't define who you are. Maybe you're not the same dancer anymore, but who says you have to be? Growth isn't always linear, and I've seen you in the studio. I think you're still pretty damn incredible. Scarlett's mouth parted. She stared at me, her eyes wide, as my mini motivational speech settled between us. I wasn't a big speech person, but I had to get that out there. Sometimes we needed someone else to point out what was right in front of us.
Where the hell did that come from?
She asked. There was an odd note in her voice, but I couldn't pinpoint what it was. It's the truth. I didn't have to look too hard for it. Scarlett closed her mouth, opened it, then closed it again. A full minute passed before she spoke.
What if I flop? It's been 5 years. I'm out of practice, and I've never performed Lorena before. I know a staff showcase isn't the same as a Royal Opera ballet, but those are my colleagues, my students. If I screw up, I'll have to face them every day afterward, and I don't know if I can do it.
By the time she finished, her words were nearly inaudible. A raw, unfamiliar ache settled in my chest. I hated how despondent she looked, but I understood how she felt. Ballet, football, both careers that came with preset expiration dates. We weren't like writers or lawyers who could theoretically keep their job until they died. We entered our fields knowing that one day, no matter how hard we tried, our bodies would simply be incapable of performing at the level necessary to sustain our dreams. Our careers burned brief yet bright, and they were subject to the whims of the universe. One accident, one stroke of bad luck could end everything earlier than we'd expected. I recognized it. Scarlett had lived it. So maybe I was stepping over the line with what I had to say next, but I wouldn't be a friend if I didn't point it out. And I did consider her a friend, even if that sentiment wasn't reciprocated. "I think you're capable of more than you give yourself credit for," I said. "But at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself what you'd regret more, trying and failing, or not trying at all."
Chapter 13. Scarlet. The storm continued to rage outside. Rain pounded against the windows, and flashes of lightning chased away the shadows on the ceilings every other minute. It was a white noise dream. People paid for this kind of bedtime ambiance, yet I couldn't sleep a wink. Instead, I'd been lying in bed for 2 hours, replaying the day's events on an endless loop. The weight of Ash's body on mine, the chase for the pap, the moment we realized I'd have to stay the night. And most of all, our conversation in the theater, which had unearthed insecurities that I would rather have kept buried. I hadn't meant to unload them on Asha. I'd always kept my deepest and shallowest fears locked inside me, hidden from even Vincent and Karina. Because what was more shallow than refusing to step on stage in case I looked like a fool, like a has-been desperately clinging to her former glory? Yet there was something about Asher that made me want to confide in him. He'd listened without a trace of judgment, and as an athlete, he probably understood my dilemma as much as any non-dancer could. I should be angrier about him pushing me so hard, but maybe he was right. Was trying and failing better than not trying at all? 20, 40, 60 years from now, would I regret not reaching for a second chance when I could? Ugh. Late-night existential crises were the worst. I closed my eyes, listening to the claps of thunder roll through the room. My body was exhausted after the day's exertion, but my mind was wide awake. Asher had placed me down the hall, as far from his room as possible, despite the many empty guest suites between us. I didn't know whether to be relieved or insulted. Did he think I was going to break into his room and ravish him or something? Either that, or he was worried about what he'd do if I was too close. Or, hear me out, maybe it was a random assignment and you're overthinking things. Not everything is about you, Scarlet. Fine. My inner consciousness got me there. Thinking Asher Donovan was so attracted to me he'd lose control if we slept across the hall from each other was the height of arrogance. Still, an ember of heat flickered to life at the mental image of him in bed. Was he awake? If so, what was he thinking about? Did he sleep in boxes or a t-shirt and sweats or nothing at all? I groaned and buried my face in the pillow. Why was I suddenly picturing him naked? What was wrong with me? I attempted to focus on something else. Unfortunately, the only other thing grabbing my attention was how hungry I was. My stomach growled in resentment. Shut up. The second growl overpowered the thunder. Clearly, my muffled command had only served to antagonize the hunger monsters more. Oh, screw it. I tossed my covers to the side and tiptoed into the hall. It was almost 3 o'clock, the devil's hour, and a shiver snaked down my spine. The house transformed into a different entity at night. When twisted shadows danced on the walls and the silence took on a menacing weight, I couldn't shake the feeling that I'd been cast as the unsuspecting lead in a horror flick, unknowingly walking to her gruesome death when she should have stayed safe and warm in bed. Stupid Asher. I blamed my paranoia on him. Did he really think a story about a countryside manor haunted by sinister spirits was the best movie to watch before bed? Maybe that was why I couldn't sleep. My subconscious was protecting me from potential nightmares. It had nothing to do with anyone initialed AD. I made it downstairs and through the living room with the help of my trusty mantra. Ghosts don't exist. Ghosts don't exist. Ghosts don't... I turned the corner and stopped dead in my tracks. Pale light spilled through the kitchen doorway, alerting me to the fact that someone, or something, was already inside. I finally understood how the characters in horror films felt because while self-preservation screamed at me to run away, morbid curiosity propelled me forward. Apologies to every stupid character I've ever lambasted for making poor decisions. It turns out I, too, am a stupid character who makes poor decisions. I peeked around the doorway, my heart jackrabbiting in my chest. A tall, dark figure stood near the open fridge, wielding a knife. I couldn't help it. I screamed. Ah! The figure whirled around. His knife clattered to the floor as our simultaneous screams shredded the silence. I didn't think. I simply darted inside, grabbed a nearby frying pan, and swung it toward his head before he recovered from his surprise. He ducked just in time. I swung again, but he grabbed my arm mid-arc and sent us both tumbling to the ground. He hit the tile first with an audible groan. I straddled him and brought the frying pan over my head. I was acting on pure instinct at this point. If I stopped moving, fear would take over, and I couldn't allow that to happen. Someone was going to get hurt, and it wasn't going to be me. Not today, Satan. I was about to swing the pan down when a familiar voice pierced my cloud of adrenaline.
Scarlet, stop!
Wait, was that? I blinked, my mindless haze parting to reveal a sharp jaw and emerald eyes. Asher?
Obviously,
he grumbled.
Who did you think I was?
I thought you were an intruder. My heart continued to race as it scrambled to catch up with this new development.
Why would you think that?
Asher eyed my white-knuckled grip on the pan with wariness. Oh my god, I'd almost bashed Asher Donovan's face in with cookware. I flushed and quickly set the pan on the floor. I came downstairs for a snack and saw the light from the kitchen. I didn't realize...
That I might have gotten the same idea?
He finished, his tone dry. The flush spread to my neck and chest. My mind had somehow leapfrogged over the most logical answer and straight to the worst-case scenario. I wanted the floor to open up and swallow me whole. Free-falling into hell couldn't be worse than assaulting my host with surgical-grade stainless steel. I was being cautious. If you had been an intruder... I trailed off. Don't make it worse. Anyway, I apologize. I should get that out before my face exploded from mortification. I didn't mean to, almost kill you.
Apology accepted.
Relief ballooned at the twinge of amusement in his response. Good, he wasn't that upset. Getting hauled off on attempted murder charges would have put a serious damper on my weekend. The hum of the fridge crept between us. He hadn't closed the door before I swung at him, and the blast of cold air sent goosebumps rippling up and down my arms. Asher's body was the only source of warmth. My eyes drifted down of their own accord. A soft green t-shirt molded to his shoulders and chest, not too tight, but just enough to hint at the sculpted eight-pack underneath. Unlike the bright, piercing hue of his eyes, the shirt was so faded it was almost grey. It had ridden up during our altercation, revealing a strip of tanned skin above the waistband of his sweats. So this was what he wore to sleep. It was so casual, yet intimate, like he'd unwittingly offered me a peek at his most private...
Scarlet.
Hmm?
I hate to interrupt your ogling, but can you please get up? As much as I love having you on top of me, this tile wasn't designed for comfort.
My gaze snapped up to his as realization dawned for the second time that night. I was still straddling him. Asher's eyes creased with mirth as I shoved off his chest and scrambled to my feet. Forget malicious spirits. If I died tonight, I only had myself to blame. Here lies Scarlett Dubois, a victim of self-inflicted humiliation. I wasn't ogling you, I lied, drawing the tatters of my dignity around me in a last-ditch shield.
Sure, and rain isn't wet.
Asher stood, looking remarkably put together for 3:15 in the morning. Further proof the universe didn't play fair.
It's all right, darling. I won't hold it against you.
What did I say about calling me darling?
I'd say I get a pass considering you almost rearranged my face with my own cookware.
He... Well, okay, he had a point. You're never going to let that go, are you?
Never is a long time.
A wicked grin stole across his face.
However, I'd expect frequent mentions of this night for the next 50 years or so.
Bold and erroneous of you to assume we'd still be talking in 50 years.
Stranger things have happened. If you're lucky, it might even be 70.
I pictured wrinkled white-haired versions of ourselves bickering in a nursing home somewhere. The image didn't repulse me as much as it should have. Another gust of arctic air billowed from the open fridge door. Asher's gaze slid from my face down to my neck and chest. His smile faded, and an electric shiver rippled down my spine. Neither of us moved to close the door. Tension swallowed our earlier levity, and I was suddenly conscious of how little I was wearing. I hadn't wanted to sleep in my workout clothes, so Asher had lent me one of his shirts. The vintage black tee hit mid-thigh. Underneath it, I wore my favorite lace knickers. And that was it. No bra. My nipples hardened to painful points beneath Asher's scrutiny. His eyes darkened, and an answering pulse throbbed to life between my legs. I wasn't a casual fling person. I'd tried. They didn't do much for me, so my vibrator and I had developed a close relationship over the years. Usually it was enough, but right now it wasn't the thought of my Maximus 3000 Ultra that made my body sing with heat. It was the thought of what Asher could do with his hands and mouth when his gaze alone turned me on. It was the fantasy of me straddling him again, only this time we were both naked. It was the simmering attraction that had been building between us since we met, the one I'd done everything in my power to destroy, only to have it revive again and again like a phoenix from the ashes. I wasn't saying I wanted to date him or marry him. But I wanted him, and judging by the way his breathing shallowed, he wanted me too. He took a step toward me.
Scarlett.
The husky rasp of my name slapped me back to reality. What the hell am I doing? Sorry again about the attempted murder, but I have to go back to sleep, I blurted. Early morning tomorrow. Talk to you later. I turned and beelined out of the kitchen before he could stop me. It wasn't until I'd safely locked the door and burrowed beneath the duvet that I realized I hadn't grabbed a single thing to eat. Good news, I was no longer hungry. Bad news,